You're listening to Morning Devotions for the next 30 minutes. This is John Thrasher. Let's just enjoy devotions together, shall we? Here are two good verses of Scripture to start our day. In the little short epistle of Jude, Jude consists only of one chapter, and that's only 25 verses long, but it has some tremendous verses in it, and here are two of them. Verses 20 and 21, "But ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life." That's how we're supposed to live. Every day, building up ourselves on our most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, and keeping yourselves, because of our walk with God and our prayer life and our talking with the Lord, then being able to keep ourselves in the love of God, in that kind of an atmosphere. And the only way you can do it is when you pray in the Holy Ghost, because this world is too rude and mean and corrupt and harsh to be able to go through this life unscathed and without harshness and bitterness in your soul and all kinds of resentment. I mean, people are just too mean. The only way you can keep yourself in the attitude and the atmosphere of love is by praying in the Holy Ghost. An old expression we used to use in yesterdays was praying through. And that's still good for today. We need to pray through. When we come up against a brick wall, when there is an obstacle ahead, when the things of life would cause you to grow bitter and resentful and want to lash back at people because of all the mean, nasty things they do to you, then, dear friend, the best thing for you to do is pray through. And that's it. You can't reason things out. Sometimes there is no sense in trying to reason out why people do the things that they do. You just need simply to pray through on the matter and commit it into God's hands. And as you pray in the power of the Holy Ghost, the Lord will keep you in His love. That's the kind of atmosphere we want to live in and move in. I'm not talking about a dream world. I'm not talking about something that is impossible to achieve. It is impossible to human nature, but when we pray in the Holy Spirit and we walk with God, He will keep you in His love. Here's a pretty happy song to start the program that talks about the fact that today I do have a reason for living again. I have a reason for singing again. I have a reason because I've got the love of God in my heart.
I got a reason for living again. I got a reason for laughing again. I got a reason for loving again. I got the love of God in my heart. No reason to sigh anymore. No reason to cry anymore. No reason to die anymore. I got the love of God in my heart. On Monday,
I was all alone.
On Tuesday,
my sins were told.
On Wednesday,
I cried
on Thursday, Lord,
I thought would die.
On Friday,
I started to pray.
On Saturday,
I read my Bible all day.
On Sunday,
lift a hand to give glory. Now the love of God's in my heart.
I got a reason for living again. I got a reason for laughing again. I got a reason for loving again. I got the love of God in my heart. No reason to sigh anymore. No reason to cry anymore. No reason to die anymore. I got the love of God in my heart.
And that's what gives us a reason for living again, loving again, singing again, is when we have the love of God in our hearts. How do you get it? By praying in the Holy Ghost, by praying through. Walking in the Spirit, if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body. How do you crucify self? It is through the power of the Holy Ghost. All those carnal passions and appetites and lusts and negative emotions and sour moods, how do you rise above them? Through the power of the Holy Ghost. And I think it would certainly be good for me to read again 1 Corinthians chapter 13. This would be a good time to read it, wouldn't it? Since I read those verses in Jude about keeping yourselves in the love of God, well, here is the love of God expressed and defined. In chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians, we come to find out that it is not indecent, it is not easily irritated, it does not have any sharpness of spirit, it is not self-conceited, it is not a braggart. Love suffers long, it does not envy, is not given to jealousy. Well, listen to it, as the Apostle Paul wrote it nearly 2,000 years ago, and what the world needed then, the world needs today, the same. He said, Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not love, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, and have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not love, it profiteth me nothing. Love suffereth long and is kind. Love envieth not. Love vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not its own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Love never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall be done away. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, love. These three. But the greatest of these is love. Chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians. Nothing in anybody's literature on the subject of love has ever been penned greater and more superior than these words. Inspired of the Holy Spirit through the channel that he used, the Apostle Paul, nearly 2,000 years ago. Here's love. This is God's love. And if we manifest this kind of a love, what a difference it is going to make in our life and in the lives of those that we touch. This kind of love is not sensitive, it is not petty, it is not childish, it is not self-centered, doesn't grow impatient. O God, fill us with this kind of love. Let your love flow through me. I think that would certainly be a most meaningful prayer for us to pray today. As we make our way through a cold, heartless world in many respects, that God would somehow make you and me channels of his peace, channels, instruments of his love, to reach out and touch others. Lord, let your love flow through me. That's one of the old songs of yesterday. One of these days we're going to fly away, praise God. And we'll meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And the Bible says, wherefore comfort one another with these words. I want to read another chapter in the Bible. I just read to you 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the love chapter of the scripture. And this one is in Revelation chapter 5. I never grow tired of hearing these words and reading them. When Christ, the Lamb of God, went to the Father, to the throne, and took the book out of the right hand of God and opened it, and the host of heaven broke out in adoration and worship, saying, O Lord, thou art worthy to take the book. Listen to the words. John said, And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, Who is worthy to open the book and to loose its seals? And no man in heaven or in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look on it. And one of the elders saith unto me, Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed to open the book, and to loose its seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne, and of the four living creatures, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb, as though it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four living creatures and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of saints. And they sang a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book, and to open its seals, for thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God a kingdom of priests, and we shall reign upon the earth. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the living creatures, and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Worthy is the Lamb.
Worthy the Lamb that was slain.
Should not our hearts be filled with adoration and worship? All through the Psalms, you read where the man of God is saying, I will worship thee, O Lord, I will praise thee, I will sing unto your name praises as long as I have my being, an expression similar to that. And we need to do that on a daily basis, to worship God. Thou art worthy, O Lord, thou art worthy. Because, see, religion isn't just a lot of do's and don'ts and a lot of theology and a lot of beliefs and convictions and dogmas. Basically, the Christian religion is a person, the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we love him and worship him, everything else begins to fall in place. We begin to understand the Word of God. Well, that's true because you know that the more you know a person, the more intimately you know someone, the more you can understand what they mean. If they write a letter, the expressions that they use, the comments that they make, you know that person. And you know what they mean when they say what they say. And the more we know Jesus, the better able we are to understand what he means when he says what he says. Just like that time, and I've mentioned this before, but just like that time when he spoke to his audience and he said, except you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. Well, see, they didn't really know Jesus. And so they didn't know what he was talking about. They thought he was talking about cannibalism. They said, does this man want us to eat of his flesh and drink of his blood? This is too hard. We can't listen to this. And many of them left and followed no more with him. But those who know him know what Jesus meant. He wasn't talking about eating his flesh, drinking his blood. He was talking about spiritual communion, that refreshment that comes, that sustenance, that spiritual food that comes when we worship him and we're in his presence. We eat of his flesh and drink of his blood. There's so many passages of scripture throughout the Bible that the unlearned rest and distort and twist around to their own destruction because they don't know the Lord. Or at least they don't know him very well. Because the more we know Jesus and the more we love him, the more we grasp and understand what he says. Oh, may he teach us his secrets. And he does have secrets. And see, the Bible says the secret of the Lord is with those who fear him. Who learns the secrets of Jesus? I'll tell you who. Those like Mary who sat at his feet. As you and I take time to be holy and we take time to worship God and we take time for meditation and communion with the Lord and we sit at his feet often, and we fear him, revere him, respect him, love him, we should be taught the secrets of the Almighty. Others won't know, but we can know if we fear God and love him. And you don't have to be so smart either as far as a high IQ and all the intelligence and education that comes with it. You just need to fear God and love him, and he'll teach you his secrets. And even out of the mouths of babes and sucklings, thou hast ordained praise. Why, the smart, intelligent, self-righteous Pharisee couldn't understand, but the little children could understand, and they cried their hosannas. And out of the mouths of babes and sucklings, thou hast ordained praise. So you can just be a little child. You can be ever so contrite, ever so humble, but if you love Jesus and you fear him, he's going to teach you his secrets. And he has a lot of secrets to tell us. Secrets as to how to live an overcoming life, how to win the victory, and to snatch defeat out of the jaws of the devil. How to run through a troop and to leap over a wall, and for the Lord God to be our strength and our song and our salvation. Secrets like that. Secrets how to be loving when it is so tempting to be hateful. How to be patient when it is so easy to be frustrated and impatient. How to think of others when it would be so easy to be selfish and self-centered. Oh Lord, teach us your secrets. Teach us how to live. And you don't even have to read volumes and volumes of books how to, even though there are many helpful books and studies regarding how to live out the Christian life. And those things are good. But the main thing, the important thing, is that you sit a learner at Jesus' feet with a broken and a contrite spirit, a teachable spirit. Fear God and love him, and you're going to learn his secrets. You're going to understand what God has for you, and he's going to fill your heart and soul with his peace and quiet and serenity in the midst of all of life's frustrations and ups and downs, and there are plenty of them, aren't there, for all of us. But God wants to instill his peace and quiet. May he do so this morning. Hymn, what a message. I like especially that third stanza, like the rain that falls from heaven, like the sunlight from the sky, so the Holy Ghost is given, coming on us from on high. Nothing more refreshing than the infilling of the Holy Spirit and the refreshment that God gives with a baptism of His Spirit. And nothing is quite like it, the clear, clean, sweet sage smell of the desert after a rain. Lord, send your Holy Spirit by way of my heart. Rain down upon this arid soul of mine. Make me fragrant, clear, clean, spirit sweet. Amen. Lord, send your rain upon my arid heart and soul, and let there be that refreshing smell and fragrance. It comes when the Holy Spirit fills our hearts and lives with His peace, with His love. I've enjoyed being with you as we've worshiped the Lord together in this time of morning devotions. This is John Thrasher. Thank you for listening. Have a good day. God bless you abundantly.
Give me all.